Last night we had a night of worship. And it was a beautiful time in the presence of God. And the songs we sang, and we came before the Lord, and before we close, we got to gather in a circle and pray. Anytime we enter into His presence, there's always a time of healing and restoration, even a time of refreshing for our very soul. And last night I shared a little bit in Mark chapter 6, which I'm going to share this morning to those who was here last night. In verse 33. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him, and they ran on foot from all the cities. And they arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. He began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and village and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But he answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go out and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and gave them something to eat? To give them something to eat?" But he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat in ranks, in hundreds and fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up into heaven and blessed it and broke it. Broke the loaves and gave it to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fish he divided among them, so that they all ate and was full. And he took the 12 baskets full of fragments and of a fish. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, that you are the bread of life that has come down from heaven. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that the multitude came and they ran and they arrived before them, Jesus and his disciples. In verse 34, it says that Jesus, when he came and saw the great multitude, he was moved with compassion. He saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. In Luke, it says that he began to teach them about the kingdom of God. Not only teach them, but he began to heal the sick. And he began to say to his disciples, give them something to eat. And they began to reason among themselves, where are we going to get so much money to feed so many people? Sometimes God calls us and he commands us to do simple things of life. Sometimes you might be in a restaurant and he say, pay that family's bill when you hear his voice. And sometimes we reason within ourselves when the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts. And we don't follow his command. I know in my own personal lives, my own personal experience with Christ, he will speak to my heart and go and pay that breakfast for that man with that child. Sometimes we can't comprehend it. We can't reason the things of God. But we need to go as he commands us. Even when it sounds foolishness in our mind. God one time spoke to me and said, buy a teddy bear. And I went to Walmart and I bought a teddy bear. And I told this story before. I didn't know what the teddy bear was for. But I was traveling down to Westchester Hospital. And I saw this grandmother with her grandson. And he was going into surgery. And the Lord said, give it to her. That gave her, that teddy bear, comfort her while her grandson went into surgery. When she came out of surgery, she still had the teddy bear. So God knows the need that we have. He knows the need of people around us. I was having breakfast one time, and the Lord said, pay that man's breakfast for his son. And I just blessed him, and I could see the look on his face. He couldn't understand why a man would pay for his breakfast. But it's not us, it's Christ. He knows that person's need. He said to the disciples, go and buy bread that you should feed them. Sometimes we look in our circumstances, sometimes the goal, the call is greater than ourselves. It reminds me of Moses when God called him to go to set his people free. I can just imagine Moses standing before the burning bush. Said, let me go see that sight that the bush is burning but it's not consumed. I can imagine what he was thinking. When God spoke to him and told Moses, you are standing on holy ground, take your sandals off. Because you're in the very presence of God. And God said, Moses, I want you to go and tell my people that I sent you. And Moses asked, who should I say who sent me? He said, I am. The great I am. And Moses was reluctant to go and even God was rose with a little anger towards Moses. As Moses says, I am a man who doesn't speak well. You see, God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for imperfection. And he takes the little things of this world to confine the wise of this world. Hallelujah. When we come to Christ, we come to Christ with our imperfection. My wife and I have a communion set at home. But if you look at it, the cup is not perfect. The dish is a little wobbly. It reminds me of my imperfection. When I come to Christ and I break that bread and I drink that wine, that grape juice, reminds me of the great grace He has for each one of us. He's not looking for perfect. He's looking for willing hearts to serve Him. Hallelujah. We don't have to polish ourselves. He will polish us. Hallelujah. The Bible says our righteousness is like filthy rags before the presence of the Almighty God. But we can come with our filthy rags, with all our perfection, with all the dirt of the world. And He takes us and He cleans us and He rubs us clean and makes us pure white snow. And He says, I got an assignment for you today. Are you ready for your assignment? Hallelujah. He's looking for willing hearts. He told His disciples, go and buy bread. They said, where can we find all this money to feed all these people? See, they were looking with their eyes. But we need to look into with our spiritual eyes. In 2 Kings, chapter 4, verse 32 to 33, it speaks about Elijah. And a man of God came with loaves of bread, barley bread, and gave us a picture of feeding the men. And that's what Jesus is doing here, feeding the multitudes. The multitudes. I love the story as He proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, taught them about the kingdom of God. And then He healed the sick, because the Bible says He was moved with compassion. You know, that was a little boy's lunch. And the little boy was going home with his lunch when he came across Jesus. I can imagine the story he told his mother when he got home. He met a man named Jesus who multiplied the bread and the fish. Hallelujah. And I love this story as I continue reading. The Bible says they all was fed. And He told His disciples to go pick up the fragments. And God takes the fragments of our lives and He gathers them up. Praise the Lord. He takes the fragments of our lives and gathers them up within Himself. Because He doesn't leave you where you are. Because you are special to Him. And no matter what we're going through in our lives, no matter the brokenness in our lives, the fragments of our lives, from our past, from our presence, He gathers them up. Hallelujah. I can see the blind man on the side of the road when they said, who's coming? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he began to cry out. We begin to cry out to Him. And he stopped and turned to him and said, what can I do for you? He said, can you heal my vision, my eyes? And he healed the man. I love in the scripture of Luke, where it reads, that Jesus came to the synagogue in Galilee where he was born. And he began to teach there. In Luke 4:17, the Bible reads that he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And he opened it up. And he found the place where it was written that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, to recover the sight of the blind, to set liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He came to set us free from our own bondage, from our own sin, from our own sickness. He came and revealed himself in the flesh as man, that he can relate to us. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what you struggle, the inner feelings of your very soul. He knows that. But when we cry out to him, when we run to him, the multitudes did, they began to seek him out. The Bible said they ran to him. When I look upon what's going on around the world, it is no surprise for him. And I learned that North Korea was a Christian country. Until dictatorship came in and began to squash Christianity. But South Korea is 30% Christians. And you know, South Koreans are sending missionaries throughout the world. Well, United States was sending out missionary. They are sending out missionary now. God always rises a remnant for himself. He will always seek that group of people whose heart is after him. And we as people of God in the United States, we need to rise and stand for righteousness. When I walked these streets last week, there's a pregnant woman living behind us in a tent with twins. We as the church need to answer the call to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But not only in that, but in compassion and love. When the young people look at the church today, what do they see? Do they see compassion? They see love? Are we representing Christ in our lives? When I go out into the world, I never say I'm a Christian. I have people come to me and say, I know you're a Christian. Once in Bahama, I met a sister on the bus. And she says to me, I knew you was a Christian. At the end of the travel, as we travel through the island. Because it reflects, Christ reflects in us. Like that light reflects in us throughout the world. And it's an honor to be a Christian. That we serve the true living God, the creator of heaven and earth. Bob this morning shared with us that he went down by the river and was looking at creation and the clouds. The Bible says that all his creation testify of his glory and who he is. Wow. In Romans it says that creation, no one can say that day, in the day of coming of Christ, when they stand before him, I never knew you. Romans says, no. Because creation speaks about him. Hallelujah. On Friday, there was a large moon. And I went outside. I saw this large moon. And I said, only God can create that. Only God can create the colors that he sets in the heavenly places. We can't match those colors. Only him. And he said, give him something to eat. And they said, where can we find the money to feed them? I had pastor friends of mine in Cuba. And when he first came to America, they took him to a restaurant because when a visiting pastor comes, you want to bless him so much. And then when they put the food before him, he started crying and weeping. Because his country, they don't eat like that. And we took him to Home Depot and he looked around and says, this is amazing that you can even build a house out of this warehouse. While his church sits in sticks tied with wire. And they have church service there outside. He gets so many ounces of coffee for the month. Their clothing, they go to the marketplace. And when they go to the marketplace with the government tag, they will pick any clothes. If the shirt is too small for me, I'll take it. If it's too large, I take it because I go to the on the street and exchange it with someone else. They will get gas and gather gasoline. So when the missions went over there from America, they have enough gas to travel on the island. They will break candy bars as they travel to just to share with one another. And I met a pastor from Cuba who came to our house and stayed because when they were missionaries, they would stay in my house. A beautiful thing. If you have your home, open your homes to missionaries. God will bless you. Open it to them. And we had a young pastor come to America. He spoke English. And I said, how you learn English? He said, my father was going to engineer school in America when Castro took over the country. And he taught us English. Because when he came back to visit a family, he got stuck there. He couldn't come back out. He taught his children English. And I remember passing a taxi, and he started squatting down. I said, what's the matter? He said, the police. I said, that's a taxi. You're in America. You don't have to worry about that. Our police cars are real fancy. Got all the lights and all the whistles. You're okay. You're safe here. His name was Rodriguez, Pastor Rodriguez. Pastor Romero stayed with us the first time. Then we had the pleasure of having his wife stay with us. I think the second or third year. But you know what? The government kept his son to make sure he comes back. That's a life there. But he is strong in the Lord. And the Lord gave him a vision to take the city. And he began to build church houses throughout the city. He began to take his leaders from his church and began to go to different locations throughout the city and began to do church houses. And he said, the city, I'm going to take the city in the name of Jesus Christ. He had this vision to take the city and he would raise people in his church and send them out. He began church houses. And he would go to Walmart and buy clothes because it was cheaper there. He couldn't see to pay $50 for a pair of pants or $30 for a shirt. That was mind-boggling to him. So we here in America, we have so much. We need to be so grateful. America, God bless this country. True, he blessed it because this country go out and fight for righteousness against dictatorship and try to bring democracy around the world. It's true that God bless this country. The other day I visited a man whose life is coming to a close. He died last night. And whenever you went to visit a person who has hours, maybe a day to live, this man was missionary throughout the world. This man did so much, so many things for God. And here he lays waiting to enter into the kingdom of God. Just days and hours. And when I walked in, I just felt such a compassion for him. That I hold his hand. I even kissed him. His eyes open up. I know he's going home with the Lord. He's going to receive his crown. He ran the race that was set up before him. And God has set a race for each one of us. And I know when he enters in the presence of God, well and done, my faithful servant. The ministry is 24/7. It's around the clock. It's around the clock. And God will give you wisdom by his Spirit when you enter in. I've seen six people rise from the bed. But we had to have wisdom when we enter in. The Holy Spirit will guide you. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, prepare them, they're coming home with me. My wife and I had a privilege to go out to Milton one night. We get a call around 9, 10 o'clock at night. This family, the mother is passing away. And we had the privilege to go there. As we enter in, the Lord says, she's going home. We began to prepare her and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to her. And my wife began to sing worship unto the Lord. And she accepted Jesus Christ. We got to give her communion. And she passed away the next morning. God says even when we have our last breath, we can make that choice for Christ. So you never know when you're going to be called upon to come in that situation, that last moment of someone's life, that you come to minister, not only to them, but to the family. What an honor it is. A privilege we come in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I see the city of Newburgh, I see a lot of needs. I always say, Lord, help me. I may help them in their need. One of the things we need in the city of Newburgh is housing. Especially housing for single moms with children. I had the privilege to meet a man named Perry Jones because Ann invited me to Albany. And this man, God gave him a vision for the homeless. And he began working with the homeless. He was a pastor from a church and left the church and went into work in the inner city with the homeless. And he will bring them in at the entry level. And he will get an ID. And they will stay, I think, 30 days or 60 days in the shelter. But if they want to stay, he'll give them opportunity to stay. But they will have to participate. A little mopping, a little cleaning. And God gave him such a vision that he began to buy factories in Albany area. He began to convert them into apartments. As he showed me around, I was amazed at this man's vision that God gave to him. And he will bring them up the next level because they will volunteer electricians, plumbers, carpenters. But he will use the homeless to teach them the trade. If they want to stay, they begin to receive a little income. And they stay longer, they receive an apartment. This man's budget, I think, is $3.6 million a year. And no government funds. But God provides. when he told his disciples, feed them. When he told Perry, John, feed them. God will provide. See, when God puts a vision in your heart, he calls you. Go. He sends us to go. He will provide. When he sends his disciples, he said, "He don't take no money back. Don't take nothing. Go in my name. Go." Someone asked me, "Pastor, I want to go to a mission trip. What do you think God's saying?" I said, "I think in his word said, go. Go. Go on a mission. Go. If God is calling you there. Because if he's calling you, he's sending you out." Sometimes we get so looked upon ourselves, our circumstances, our need. I don't have the money, but God's saying, go. Feed them, he said. Feed them. Go. He's prepared you to go and do the work of the ministry. Hallelujah. The beautiful things about being a Christian, we know the end of the book. Hallelujah. We know the victory is ours. So all that stuff that's going in the world, it doesn't bother me. Because I know the end of the book. Hallelujah. I know I will be in that place where there's no more tear, no more crying, no more sickness. Hallelujah. The victory is ours. We're winners, not losers. Hallelujah. The victor belongs to us in Christ Jesus. We know the end of the book. Hallelujah. I'm going to close because we have a little graduation this morning with a hair cutting class. It's amazing that my wife is starting to cut my hair now. I ain't got much, but she put that little buzz on there, you know. Praise the Lord. You know, it's beautiful. You can trust your wife. You know, I still got my head on my shoulder. Praise the Lord. But let us close. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you sent us out into this world to serve you. That ministry is always going 24/7. Mother Teresa visited New York City. And one of the reporters says to her, "What do you think of this great city?" And she responded, "Open your eyes." And Father, open our eyes to the need of this community. That we may come in and just serve, Father. Even give us vision and desires in our heart to go. Even take on, Jesus told the disciples, feed them. That we will walk in that, Lord. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for every person here. I thank you, Father, for you created a new day in Christ Jesus for each one of us, Lord. Our tomorrow is gone and past, but we've waking up to a new day in Christ. A new day full of grace, full of mercy, full of love, and full of kindness. A new day that we can begin anew and fresh in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord. I ask a blessing upon each one today. I ask a blessing upon this little graduation to encourage them to have a ministry. That's the purpose of it. To have a ministry that those who cannot afford a haircut could come to Hudson Valley Christian Church and get a haircut. Hallelujah. I pray that you bless the hands of these women. That in your wisdom, by your Holy Spirit, would just teach them that they may serve this community. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. At this time, I'm just going to turn it over to Barbara and Leonard. Amen. I appreciate them. They had a vision, and they started this vision in the church. Amen.